Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widge Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. Well, welcome back, everyone. So pleased to have all five of my listeners back. Let's see, what do we want to talk about this week? I want to talk about kind of a follow-on to what we were dealing with last week, where I was encouraging you to change the entertainment industry by voting with your dollars. Basically, if you don't, if you support something and the artist that you're about to buy a CD from does not, don't buy the CD. Find the CD from an artist that agrees with your position on things. that's what you've got to do. The entertainment industry will not change until it's obvious that their draconian methods for keeping a grip on things is costing them money. So I got a ping through IM from DJ B-Naught, our resident turntablist there at Need Coffee, and he said, I left out part of what I was talking about, that basically these remixers and DJs and whatnot, they're constantly working with stuff that they may or may not, and in a lot of cases, especially when you get into underground artists, remixers and stuff, they usually do not have the rights to actually go and screw around with that stuff. And, what was my take on that? Well, my take on that is pretty much the same as what I was talking about before, is that I'm a big believer in if people don't want you where you are, don't go to that place. You know what I mean? It's like, for example, if a place isn't set up the way you want it to be set up, why would you go to that place? If I think, for example, totally, completely, sort of off the subject, but all these anti-smoking laws, okay, not in favor of them. I think individual businesses should be able to make that choice for themselves. You don't have a fucking right to go into a Waffle House. Where does it say, and forgive me, if there's a country out there, I don't know all the legalities of other countries and their constitutions. Maybe there's a small nation, in Eastern Europe where you do have an inalienable right to go into a Waffle House. And if so, and you're one of my five listeners, I'm sorry. But no, you don't have a right to go into a Waffle House, a privately owned establishment, and expect it to be anyway than what the owner of the Waffle House wants it to be. And if you, whether that's smoking or drinking or whatever the fuck else you want, right, or don't want, and if you don't, if you don't want to be in a place that allows whatever it is, whether it's smoking or whatever, or even screaming children or anything, don't go there. Don't spend your money there. Now, I think I heard, what was it, after Waffle House's banned smoking, at least in here in Georgia, at least their sales went up 40%. Okay, now obviously you could, I think there should be a restaurant that's all smoking. I think they're doing that with some places that are 18 and over only, so you should go and you smoke like a fucking chimney if you want to. So again, it's a problem with people think we have more rights than we actually do. So what does this have to do with remixing? Well, if you're remixing an artist that doesn't want to be remixed to the point where they're hunting you down and hitting you with cease and desist letters, I mean, to me, if you're remixing a song, that's like free promotion, because mashups, I fucking love mashups. I like Smash out of the UK. I like Freelance Hellraiser. I like, Soul Wax Too Many DJs. I love that shit. I think it's great. They probably don't have any of the rights to do that stuff. But that's free promotion. How else would you possibly get me to listen to Destiny's Child? Other than to stick Smells Like Teen Spirit behind it. How the fuck else would I be listening to that? I would not. So, You know, that's the only way I've gone, wow, Beyonce can actually sing. I think this is all crap. Otherwise, you know, with a nice beat behind it, it's decent. But otherwise, I wouldn't be listening to this stuff. You're exposing me to their work that I would never have done on my own. Promotion. Free promotion. It's a lot like the Fox websites that we were talking about before. So here's my thing. If you're doing this on an underground scale, all right, where you're not hurting anybody, and you're not making like gobs and gobs of money off of it, that's one thing. I mean, you know, if Moby wants to go sample something, that's obviously on a different level than B-Naught wanting to sample something, unfortunately. Now, I don't know. Maybe B-Naught is actually filthy fucking rich, and he's just hiding it from the rest of us as a tax dodge. Don't know. Can't speak to that. But, you know, and besides Moby, all he has to do is go down to the vinyl store and pick out a record of old gospel music and put a track behind it, you know, some kind of beat, and then he'll sell millions of fucking records. So, you know, and he could do that with public domain stuff. So why should he ever need to sample anything ever again? It was good for one album. It needs to stop now. But anyway, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, so if you're on a level where you're not going to do any damage to these people at all, then it's free promotion. I don't think they should fuck with you, okay? And, you know, if you're at a level where people are actually getting to know your stuff, then you probably have enough money to deal with it. And can then, you know, go out and get the and get the permission. And if somebody don't want to give you permission, fuck them. Find somebody else's song. There are plenty of artists, just like there are plenty of artists, like, you know, I mentioned Exit Mind Bomb last week, and I continue to mention them because they fucking rock ass. But you know, there are artists out there that want you to share their stuff, that understand that it's free promotion. And, you know, they may not be able to fill arenas right now full of, you know, rock, R-A-W-K fans who have come to see them. So they're out to promote themselves. And hopefully, you know, when they get big and famous, they'll remember how they got there, which is by being open and not, you know, fucking with their fans. So, you know, I would say if I was a remixer and I ran into somebody that was a problem, I would just would leave them alone from then on. In fact, here's what I suggested. Here's what I came up with. Is that there needs to be a list somewhere of sample-friendly artists who basically, you know, it's like a Creative Commons deal. You put out a license that says, you know, you can remix this stuff as long as you don't make money off of it, and then you're fine. Or you know, there's they're open to negotiation or something like that. Or if they're smart and they got, you know, a lot of money that they're so big they would have to worry about it, it's just like, you know what, fuck it, it's free promotion. Remix whatever you want. Unless you're Moby, because we don't have any gospel songs. So, and I would say this. If you ran into an artist who – first of all, there's a way to handle this, okay? You could have artists who could come out and say, you know what? I appreciate the attention, but it's just not my thing. I would appreciate it if you wouldn't sample my stuff. I would just really appreciate it. You know, being respectful about it and not being a dick, okay? Not saying a word about it and slapping somebody with a cease and desist letter – that's kind of dickish, unless the person remixing you is a dick, and then, you know, you've got a dick war going on, and who knows. But you know, we're not all artists, but, I mean, the people we're talking about are artists, right? Musical people, they work with, you know, instruments, they work with other people's music. It's all art, as far as I'm concerned, because it kicks ass, okay? So I'm sure that, you know, artists have a tendency to respect other artists, unless they're dicks. So I'm sure they would leave you alone if you said, you know, I really would appreciate it if you didn't. But if somebody's a dick and is like cease and desist, you know what? I would want to post their name to some fucking message board somewhere, some wiki somewhere, that basically wiki with a DJ wiki. That's horrible. I can't even believe I just thought of that. That basically says hands off. And then all the remixers who subscribe to this thing would just leave it alone. All the DJs just wouldn't touch their stuff because, oh, we don't want to get hit with a cease and desist letter. You are now safe. We have made the world safe for your music because no one's going to come fuck with your stuff ever, ever again, ever. And then all that promotion's gone. Instead, you know, focus on, here are these other artists over here that really would like to, you know, oh, please, use our beats. Oh, darn, throw me in that briar patch. So that's my take on it. I mean, do you have a right to go out and sample whatever the fuck you want to? No. You know, should you? Well, it all depends. It all depends on what you're going to do with it, okay? You know, you know, obviously if you go out and try to get rights for all this stuff from people who want way too much money for what it's worth, fuck them and find something else. You know, why would you want to promote somebody who fucking hates you and wants to just suck you dry for money? There's plenty of other places to find that stuff. So just to deal with that aspect of it from the remixers and the DJ's point of view, you know, there's easier ways to handle this stuff. And I think, you know, I would love to see a thriving, and maybe this is already out there, but a thriving underground community of musicians and then the people who remix those musicians. And let's just have this, you know, this amazing ecosystem of music going on, you know, with people creating stuff and then people taking that and spinning it around to something else. And I think that would be fucking excellent, you know. And well, here was the other thing. This was the example I mentioned to Beanot. Danger Mouse, when he did the Gray album, great fucking album, okay? In fact, we gave it a Chazzy for album of the year it came out. but basically, they tried to turn around and do it with Linkin Park, and Linkin Park and Jay-Z. And Linkin Park, of course, is like, you know, people who think that Korn is too heavy, right? So, and of course, that didn't quite work. But imagine if you had taken, some up-and-coming artist's stuff, done something like that with it, and it took off and was huge. Then you know, the artists would remember who the hell you were, okay, because you would help make them, give them a lot of exposure. And the labels would be looking at, well, fuck, look at this. This band X over here that nobody's heard of, you know, either mixed with Jay-Z or, you know, mixed the other one with the White Album or something or whatever the fuck you want to do, or just mix two things together that are actually legal that you can get the rights to. You know, wow, they made a big stink with this, which is huge. And, wow, we really want to tap this band or this remixer or this whatever. And so, you know, you could get a lot of exposure that way. Imagine if the Gray Album had struck big with, you know, one of the aspects of it being, you know, instead of the White Album, so they get all pissy about it, something else. You know, that's all I'm saying is go where you're needed. Don't fight to be someplace where the people fucking hate you and want you to die. Go someplace where they actually want you and would appreciate what you're doing. So that's my message to the remixers and DJs of the world out there. I did not mean to leave you out of my spiel last time. Because you fucking rock, and you it amazes me how DJs and stuff can, like I said, with Destiny's Child, they can take songs that are absolute shit and turn them into something that I want to listen to. It's absolutely amazing. And when you can take a song and make me want to move my ass as large as it is, then you've actually done something and should be quite proud of yourself. So there's that. Other thing on music is big news this week is that Metallica, 6 fucking years too late, is making their music available on iTunes. Now, I don't mean to say that iTunes was around 6 years ago, but here's my point. Is basically all of this lawsuit, RIAA, MPAA, piracy maelstrom that we've got going on, as far as I'm concerned, you can lay that right at the feet of Metallica. And here's why. You remember that stunt that they pulled where they found out that Napster existed, and then they were going to go and sue the shit out of all the people that were downloading their songs off of Napster, all right? Now, the thing about Napster and why it was different and why we've come so far now is Napster actually had servers that you could turn off, you know, as opposed to, like, you know, LimeWire, which is – you can't turn LimeWire off. There's no way of – turning it off. It's just Nutella, right? And Nutella's out in the wild. You know, with BitTorrent, yeah, you could shut down Pirate Bay, but that just means that they're going to move it to another server and turn that server on, and you're fine. And that's not even counting darknets that you can't even get into. But at the time, Napster was the last chance that anybody had an opportunity to get ahead of the technology curve for all this, you know, downloading and illegal copying and file sharing and shit. And, of course, the industry blew it. And the reason that they blew it, I think, is because of Metallica. Because they showed up with that list of folks, and they were like, you know, and we're going to start suing. Now, let me tell you exactly – let's go into the Wayback Machine. Quiet, you. Let's go back and go in the Wayback Machine, all right? Back to that time, and just imagine. Okay, here's how I would have played it had I been Metallica. And I said this at the time. I said this, that this is what they should do, should have done. Is that basically they should have come out with a press release and said, okay, you know, hey, it's come to our attention that a lot of people are downloading our stuff off of Napster, and they're doing it illegally, and we're going to do something about that, and we're going to make an announcement here in a few weeks. And, you know, people have been like, oh, what are they going to do? I don't know. What are they going to do? And then when the time comes, they showed up, and if I'm remembering this correctly, I did not look this up beforehand, but I think this is how it went down, and just imagine that this is the parallel universe in which this is happening if I got the geographic details wrong, because I'm a lazy fuck, and I'm recording this at midnight, so fuck you. So here's the deal. So I believe that they showed up with a list at Napster headquarters, right? Or their lawyer's headquarters or something. It doesn't really matter. But I would have done it at Napster headquarters and said, okay, this is the evidence that we have that these people are downloading our stuff and they haven't paid for it. And, you know, that's not a good thing. So we decided we were going to say, well, what are we going to do about this? We got to do something about this. What are we going to do about this? And our lawyers suggested, being lawyers, that we should sue all of these people for downloading our stuff. And we said, hey, we're Metallica. We don't sue our fans. Instead, here's what we did. We got together with some really bright folks, okay? And remember, this is 2000. So at the time when I was coming up with this scenario, you know, all this crazy DRM and you can only have it on 5 computers or 3 MP3 players or your ass or whatever. That didn't even enter the situation because all you had was like Napster. So just bear with me. We got with some really smart people, and we've relaunched Metallica.com starting today. In fact, right now, it's going live. And you will be able to go onto the website, and available is, and I think I said $1 a song. I think I did. I think it was like $1 a song or 15 songs making a CD for 10 bucks. And if I said $1 a song, I'm a fucking genius because that probably Steve Jobs probably ripped me off. But I don't remember because I'm like all the caffeine's gone to my head and I don't know. So just bear with me. So for $1 a song or CDs worth of 15 songs for 10 bucks, here's what you can get. We've got all of our tracks up there from all of our albums. We've got all of our singles. We got all the B-sides. We got rare shit off of the B-sides for foreign singles, right? We've got some other rare shit. We've got some demo recordings, and we've got live shit up there. And we're going to be putting highlights from all of our live shows from now on the website just as soon as we can after the show is over. So if you weren't there, you can still kind of be there and experience it with us because this is what we do for fans. So we will – if you have the ability to burn a CD, we'll let you burn a CD at your desktop, all right? If you don't, we'll mail it to you. So you can so if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you really feel the need for some reason, that's my editorial comment, for some reason, to listen to one, then come to the website. And you know, we support our fans and they want to have stuff when they want to have it, so here it is for you. So you fucking knock yourselves out and enjoy it and you know, I wouldn't, you know, at first I thought, well, you know, let's give like a coupon to all the people who, you know, were downloading stuff off of Napster so they'll come to the site, but I don't know, then you'd have people thinking you'd do it again and just going to Napster or something. But basically, or, you know, like set fire to the names or something, you know, something very theatrical that their fans would go apeshit for. And let me tell you what would have happened. Think about that. Think about instead of, these are our list of our fans. Because really, who other than Metallica fans would download Metallica songs? I mean, this is Metallica we're talking about here, right? I mean, at the time, had they done anything good at that point? I don't know. I've never been into Metallica. I remember I went to Lollapalooza one year, and they were headlining, and I was like, sweet, I can get to my car and get the fuck out of here. I don't know. It's just not my thing. But basically, so instead of going, here's a list of our fans that downloaded our songs, guess what? Thanks for being our fan. We're going to fucking sue you. If they had come out and said, we don't do that to our fans. Instead, we try to make it easier for them to get our stuff, you know, and basically turn it around on them. I think they would be fucking heroes is what they would be. Okay? And, you know, for all the Metallica fans, okay, first of all, would think the band was cool as hell. for doing what they did. Instead, you know, what did they get? Napster Bad, that hilarious little Flash cartoon that's still making the rounds. People are still, like, digging it and stuff like that. Oh, look at this. Oh, retro. Oh, retro Flash. That's really scary, isn't it? That Flash cartoons are now retro. That's terrifying. But basically, so instead of all the bad press that they got and all the fans getting pissed off at them, you know, they would be hailed as heroes. I would have fucking bought a CD of Metallica songs. I don't even like Metallica. I like the Apocalyptica, the string covers. I like those better than the originals, you know. I'll take Metallica covers over Metallica. I would have bought a CD, okay? The person who would never buy a CD of Metallica's music ever. I bought a CD of I would buy a CD of Metallica music because I was like, these guys are smart. They're smart as fucking hell. I want to reward smartness. I'm buying a CD. You tell me that wouldn't have happened. I think it would have happened. And instead, all of this iTunes stuff, remember how iTunes blew up and people were just buying shit left and right? And, you know, how many songs have they sold so far? It would be a smaller scale, obviously, because, you know, it's just Metallica. But they would have set a precedent. And instead of all of these, you know, labels and stuff like that freaking out and trying to sue people, they would have went, wait a minute, how much money is fucking Metallica making off of their web? How much money? Really? And they're not having to do anything, but like, you know, they got some guy burning CDs for the few people who don't have a CD burner, or they're paying for bandwidth at this point. And they're engendering lots of goodwill, and they got shitloads of fans and stuff. And the people are coming to the website, and, you know, maybe they're doing cross-promotional sales and, you know, buy a T-shirt and this, that. Who knows? And then they would have said, wow, this is actually a really good idea. This makes good business sense. Instead, what do we get now? We get them fucking suing people, suing fans, okay, who weren't going to buy the stuff anyway, okay, or were just sampling, or in a lot of cases, they're just suing people. They're just suing random people, suing grandmothers and 12-year-olds. Good job. You know, what was it? The MPA just sued this guy who's basically a fucking millionaire and is like, ha, 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 oh, let's party. So I can't wait for that. But so Metallica's coming to iTunes, you know. So that's why I say it's 6 years too late. You know, I hope they lose money on the deal, to be perfectly honest, because I just think they're assholes because they ruined a perfectly good opportunity. And because of that, you know, that eventually led to the downfall of Napster. And it just decentralized, and they will never be able to catch it now. You could have gotten out in front of it. Metallica could have led the charge and actually been cool, but no, they decided to be pompous assholes. So, and again, this is the weird dichotomy that I have. Did they have the right to do what they did? Oh, sure, sure. They have the right to do what they did. Should they have done it? No. It's just one of those things. It's like when I was working, desk side support for IT. And we were in a building with digital phone plugs, right? The phone system was digital, not analog that's in your house. It's much more powerful. And we were giving laptops to these people who had never had laptops before. They'd never had modems before. And they said, oh, a modem, this is great. So you mean I can plug this into the wall right here? And I'd say, oh, yeah, you can. But I wouldn't. And here's why. Because you plug that in, it's more powerful than the one at home. And, you know, 10 times out of 9, it'll blow up your modem. And one time out of 10, it'll blow up your whole machine. Your system board will get fried. So, yeah, you can do it, but no, I wouldn't. It's the same thing. Can you sue your fans? Sure, you can do that all day long. Should you? Probably not. So, yeah, I just had to laugh my ass off at Metallica coming around, you know, to basically my idea 6 years later. When it's far, far too late. And, you know, these people who were like, you know, people will always download stuff for free. No, they won't. I mean, they won't. I mean, like I said before, you're going to get college students who have T1s coming into their dorm rooms. They don't have any money anyway, so it's not like you're losing any money off of them, okay? But they're going to download stuff for free anyway. But as for the rest of us that have, you know, like lives and shit, you know, there's nothing worse than pulling down something and then you find, you know, especially with Napster, because you'd pull it down and you'd be like, what the hell is this? This is a live version, or this is Tiny Tim playing it on the ukulele, or this is some, I don't know what the fuck it is, renamed as some song, or this is, you know, I don't know what it is. Or it's a 5-minute song and 4 minutes, 45 seconds into it, there's some kind of glitch on it that just makes you go, oh, fuck, that was wasted time. So, you know, a lot of us, and as iTunes prove, let's see, I could go and I could download it and spend like hours doing that, or I could pay 99 cents and have it on my machine. Most people are going to pay 99 cents and have it on their machine. So so there you have it. Hopefully coherent, and a little shorter than most of the times, because I normally go like a half hour or some crazy shit. But anyway, so that's it. That's my rhyme. A little bit of music talk there. We'll be talking about the box office in the column, so go and check that out. And like I said before, when we're talking about B-Naught, support your local DJ, support your local band, support your local artists. You know what I mean? Make sure you know, you know, when you're buying a CD, make sure you know what you're getting into. Make sure you know what you're supporting with your dollars. So that's what I'm trying to get across to you guys. It's not as, you know, it used to be simple, but of course nothing's simple anymore. So we might as well face up to it and buy responsibly. So that's it. That's all I got. Be sure to check out the rest of the stuff here on Quick Stop. Stop by Need Coffee if you need something to do. Beyond that, and need to stay awake, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're good at that. That's it. So until next time, I shall simply say thanks for listening and be good.